Agenda setting conversations of the day.
The company United Phosphorus Limited has now written to the city of Etiquini demanding that beaches in that area around in KZN be opened. The Etiquini municipality says it's not yet certain that the beaches are safe because of the chemical spill that came from the warehouse that is owned by that company, United Phosphorus Limited. The company's warehouse was attacked during the violence 2 months ago. The chemicals within it caused massive damage to the area and beaches. People in the area found it difficult to breathe. UPL was also accused of not complying with the laws around which chemicals it can store and how they are stored. Jaffet Ngube is a spokesperson for UPL, joins us now. Jaffet, good morning. Thank you for your time.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning to your listeners. Thanks for having us.
Why do you believe the beaches can be opened?
So what has happened since the July 12th attack, arson attack on our warehouse, is that there's been a team of experts that has been assembled. These guys include toxicologists, guys who know how to deal with a situation like this, looking at the environment, the water, the sand samples. These guys have compiled a report. Which report was presented to Etiquini Municipality on the 24th of September already. And they asked for a peer review of the report. Last week, on the 11th of October, we again went to meet them with these experts to go into this report. It's a report that looked at the chemical impact of this unfortunate incident during that violence in KwaZulu-Natal in July. And this report has said that the beaches are safe to be reopened. So the reason why we are asking that the municipality reopen the beaches is because we are part of a community here. And some of the community members here are people from, for instance, the Umhlanga Tourism Association, who have hotels and restaurants and other things around here, around the beaches, who get a lot of their visitors coming from outside KwaZulu-Natal, who want to come here and also go to the beaches. So they are waiting to see what's happening because the beaches were closed as a result of the chemical spill at our warehouse caused by the violence in July.
Okay. All right, Jaffet, let's go into that a little bit. The people who caused this to happen are the people who attacked your warehouse and set it alight, okay? As far as I know, no arrests have been made for that. But you, as UPL, the company you represent, also has a responsibility to obey the law and protect what is inside your warehouse. Now, I realize this was an unprovoked attack by you, but you have a responsibility to obey the law and to deal with the consequences immediately afterwards. And your company failed to do that, didn't it?
Yeah. So let me perhaps remind you what happened, Stephen, is that on the day, on the 12th of July, we are unfortunately in the same premises as a macro warehouse. This warehouse where we are is leased to us. We don't own the warehouse. So these looters wanted to go to the macro shop. And when they couldn't get there, because remember in Springfield, macro already had another shop already destroyed by these looters. So they had fortified this particular one. So these guys could not get into this macro. Because they couldn't get into the macro, I don't know if they thought that our warehouse was part of macro and then they could find something of value in there. So they went in there. You could see five places where they had petrol bombs in there. They tossed trucks. The damage was so huge, Stephen, it's over R1 billion worth of damage. So UPL was a victim of that kind of arson, which completely destroyed that place. If you remember, the fire was still smoldering.
So I'm getting, Jaffet, I'm aware of that. I understand why the timeline is important. But what I'm trying to get to is that your company also failed to do what it should have done when it was storing very dangerous chemicals. And I mean, let's be clear, these are very dangerous chemicals that you were storing there.
Okay, let me respond to that, Stephen. The chemicals that were in the warehouse are water-based chemicals that are used for agricultural purposes. And if this fire had not happened, these chemicals would not have... What caused the spill, Stephen, was that... remember, the Etiquini fire services and the police were stressed during this violence.
So I accept that. No, Jaffet, I accept that. But in the days after the fire, you didn't give a proper list of what was in the warehouse to authorities. I mean, the list was eventually leaked by Amabungani. That's
okay,
true.
Actually, in fact, Stephen, we did do that. So what happens with this is a warehouse. This is not a factory. So since it's a warehouse, it's a storage place for these chemicals. So sometimes the same chemicals are labeled differently in terms of where they are going. But if you look at the final list that we given to authorities, the chemicals that they are saying were not on the list, it's the same chemicals that were already on the list. So they were part of this report that I'm talking about.
When?
It does not change the analysis of what has happened.
Hold on, Jaffet. Are you now talking about immediately after the fire, or are you talking about now about reopening the beaches? Because there are two separate lists here.
It takes quite a while for a huge factory like that. I mean, you can imagine the inventory that's there. I just told you now the damage is hundreds of millions. It takes a while for you to finally get a final list and reconcile.
Okay, but hold on. Are you saying then that when the fire happened, you as UPL were storing chemicals in this warehouse and you didn't know all of the chemicals, which, I mean, you call them agricultural products, sure, but they're poisons. I mean, they're carcinogenic. I mean, people couldn't breathe. People had to, you know, there was a warning for people to be very careful about how they were breathing in the air. That's how dangerous these things are. I'm not blaming you for setting the fire. I mean, I accept that. What I'm blaming you for, or let me put it like this, what I'm accusing you of, Jaffet, and trying to give you a chance to respond, is that you did not make public the full list of everything that was in the warehouse immediately afterwards at a time when people really needed to know. And that leads me to the question, is it because you didn't actually know the full details of what was in the warehouse or because you were hiding stuff?
No, we're not hiding anything. I said we're doing a reconciliation. Because you remember, this is a warehouse where these chemicals are taken and taken to countries, let's say, to Zimbabwe, to Tanzania, to Kenya, and so on and so forth. So you need to do a reconciliation. For instance, some of the chemicals that they are saying were not declared, were some of the chemicals we thought had already left the warehouse at that time, which had not left the warehouse. You should also remember that we were not able to access the warehouse for days after this incident happened, which created a problem. But what UPL did immediately on the 13th of July was to appoint these experts to look at the damage, to minimize the impact, to comb through the river and all along the beach, taking samples of the water, of the sand. And this has been a process that's been happening since the 13th of July. We have spent over $250 million trying to deal with this situation. So UPL has been dealing with this issue from day one.
Did you comply with every single regulation there is that is imposed by the city of Etiquini when you were storing these chemicals?
We believe so. Our legal team has answered those questions in a meeting that we had last week on the 11th of October with their own expert. Their own independent expert who's looking at this report. These questions came up and we responded to the question.
Jaffet, I'm still not satisfied, I'm afraid to say, with... We know immediately afterwards you were not able to say what was in the warehouse. Amabungani, I don't know where they got it from, but they published the list, not you. I mean, if that is true, and on the timeline that I have, that must be true, then it's possibly because you did not want to release the list or you were not aware yourself of what was in your warehouse. How did Amabungani get it? Why were they publishing it before you did? Why was it leaked, rather, before you would give it to everybody?
I think it happens sometimes, Stephen. While you are busy trying to compile and reconcile a list, somebody else might decide to leak it. It does not mean that people are trying to hide anything from anyone. There's no need for us to hide any of the chemicals there. Like I said to you, this is not like, you know, if it was a situation where a company was secretly stealing chemicals into the river or into the sea, quietly thinking nobody will notice. It's not that case.
No,
so there's no need for us to hide any of the chemicals. They are agrochemicals. And like I said to you, these are water-based chemicals.
Sure.
But
Jaffet, I mean, look at this, okay? You had 141,000 litres of products that are called 2.4D based products, right? They're banned in Vietnam, Norway, and Mozambique. Yet around 92 tons of a product is called Mancozeb based products, which are banned in the EU. You have all of these products, and you don't have a computer system that can keep track of them. You don't know if they're in the warehouse or not when the fire started. I mean, surely every single container has a barcode. That's all you do.
No, you can, Stephen. But like I was even trying to explain to you, there were several trucks outside the warehouse that had been torched. Remember, this happened on the Monday. So they were tossed that night. You don't know if some of these chemicals are already on the trucks or they are still in the warehouse. So it takes time for you to give a comprehensive list.
Jeff, this is the first time we've had someone from UPL on the show. I realise there have been a lot of other things going on. While we've been talking, and you were talking about the community of Umhlanga, you were talking about how important it is for you as UPL for them to be able to reopen. Desmond Desar has called us. He's the coordinator of the Environmental Justice Programme. You'll know him. Are you prepared to introduce him to the conversation? Do you mind if I do that?
Yeah, no problem.
Desmond Desar, good morning. You've been listening to the conversation. Your question?
Yeah, good morning, and good morning to your listeners. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity. I think from day one, the company has been inconvenient with the truth in the sense that they operated a facility without any permission, without any legal obeying the laws of the country. So there's been no permits in the manner in which this company has been operating. So 3 months before the explosion and fire, this company came and located into that area without any of their neighbors knowing what has been stored there. So from the outset, the laws have been broken. The second thing is this here. From the explosion and fire, UPL has dived all over the show in trying to not provide information to what was stored there. So even government from the outset struggled to get information, and community groups like ourselves have struggled. We then applied for the Promotion of Access to Information Act, and their lawyers have responded not wanting to provide the information, citing confidentiality. So in other words, these were really nasty, dangerous, toxic chemicals that were stored there that blew up and came into the lungs and homes of people in Umhlanga.
Right.
That tons of fish were killed tells you the extent of the chemicals that were there. Now, just to say this, yeah, if UPL had nothing to hide, they would release the air quality report from AirShed tomorrow. They would release it today. That they have not released it and are not willing to release it tells you that they don't want the public to know what was in the air of those chemicals that blew up, what people were breathing in, what was the sample that was sent off to London by AirShed to get analyzed for the different poisons that were stored there.
Okay, Desmond, I've let you speak, and I'm sorry, Desmond, I am going to have to give Jaffet a chance to respond. Jaffet, I had switched you off. You're now back on the air. Good morning. I've got the list of claims in front of me. The first from Desmond Desar was that you didn't have permits.
Sorry, like I said earlier on, Stephen, we have responded to this. Our legal team has responded to this, and our response has been that there's two things. The warehouse does not belong to, we don't own the warehouse. So it took a while for us to get to a point where we understand whether these requirements are from us or from the owner of the warehouse. It took a little bit of a while.
So were you storing the stuff before that was sorted out?
Sorry?
You were storing the chemicals there before that was sorted out?
Yeah. So what happened, Stephen, was that we moved into those premises in April. This fire broke out in July. So it's just a few months. It was a new factory.
So 2 months you were storing these without permits because you couldn't sort it
out? No. I already said that our legal team has answered these questions to say we think we have done everything in our power to have the required permits.
Desmond brought up what I brought up, which is about information, you not wanting to provide information. He makes, I think, an important point. They've done a prior application, Promotion Access to Information Act. Why are your lawyers objecting to that? Why are you opposing it? Surely you'd release the list.
I think it's for legal reasons. There would be other consent from the company side to try to make sure that we comply with the requirements of the law. We need to understand at first also which permits are required, which permits are they saying we did not have. I don't think there was any effort on the side of UPL to hide any information. This report that I'm telling you about, which we submitted on the 24th, for instance, which addresses the issue of the quality of the air, the water, and so on and so forth, it's a public document. It's on the government department's website.
If you are so open and transparent, what legal reasons could there be to oppose an access to information application? I mean, unless the legal reason is to protect you from liability.
No, it's not that at all. We have been communicating with the department, with Etekwini Municipality from day one. We have been, in fact, we have weekly meetings where we give feedback on what we've done since the fire, to clean up the place, to rehabilitate the place, and to move forward. There can't be any hiding of any information. I did say on the 11th, which is last week, there's another meeting, the last meeting, which we thought after that meeting, we should now write to them to remind them, guys, we have had this meeting and we have presented this report. Could you please reopen the beaches? Because the report does say the beaches are safe.
Jafar Dinqube, we are going to leave it there. Thank you, spokesperson for United Phosphorus Limited. Well, you'll know how big an issue this has been in KwaZulu-Natal if you live in the area. If you've seen it, experienced what's been happening there for yourself, I would really appreciate a comment from you on 011-714-2006. Desmond Desar, you know him, environmental activist in that area, he phoned in to join that conversation. 4 minutes now to 8.